Thanks for listening to this week's Wellspring Church Podcast.
All right, week two of That Thing We Do. We began this series last week, and we were trying to kind of answer a question that we all have in life. What matters more, what we say or what we do? We all kind of answer the same way, right? It's what we do. In every relationship in your life, you measure who you can trust, who you can count on, if they're telling the truth, if you believe them, if you want to further your relationship with them, not by what they say, not by how well they speak, but by what they do. And last week, we kind of began wrestling with this fact that when it comes to our relationship with God, the same thing matters. It doesn't really matter what we say. It doesn't matter if we can talk a good game. It doesn't matter all those things. What matters to God is what we do. And so I tried to kind of paint the picture last week with the help of this guy named James, Jesus' brother, who wrote a letter in the New Testament. And what James says, and what we learned last week, is that when it comes to following Jesus with our life, it's not really what we say. It's not even really what we think and believe. Following Jesus should be that thing we do with our lives. And so what we're going to do for the rest of the series is we're going to talk about a couple of specific areas that God's very clear with us about. Here's how you should act if you believe in me. This is what you should do if you believe that I am who I say I am. And right off at the top, because I have to address it every week, one of the things I love about Wellspring is that we have people that come to church every single week that do not believe in God. You do not believe in Jesus. You do not believe any of this is true. You're here because somebody drug you. You're here because you heard we were giving away Coke floats. You were here for the dog park, but the ushers put you in and you don't know what's going on. You're wondering where the dogs are. But you're here right now and you're sitting here, and I just want you to know, man, you're in a safe place. We're thrilled you're here. In fact, Wellspring designs its services for you. We're honored that you're here. And what I'm going to talk about today, what we're going to talk about this series, might not apply to you because it's for people that believe in Jesus. It's for people that have given their life to him. And I want you to know that right off the bat. This doesn't apply to you. I'm not talking to you today. My prayer, though, is that one day it will apply to you. My prayer is because that you'll like what you hear here. That you'll want to investigate it further, and you won't really know why. Maybe it was a song. Maybe it was somebody you met. Maybe, dare I say it, you might take something you learned here one day and apply it in your life and discover, oh, wait, that worked. Oh, wow, maybe this God guy's real. And maybe he really did send his son Jesus to live on this earth. And maybe Jesus was real. And maybe he really did give his life up for me. And so maybe I really should begin a relationship with him. And see, our hope is that you'll keep coming to this place and you'll build relationships here and you'll discover, okay, these people aren't perfect. Nobody is. But man, there's something different. They really believe this stuff. They really do. And I hope one day you will as well. And so what I'm going to talk about today, what I'm going to talk about for the next 4 weeks are things I hope one day you do with your life. Because I hope one day you give your life to Jesus. And I hope one day you decide, you know what, I'm not going to lead my life anymore. I'm going to let Jesus lead it because he paid the price for me. And he wants to give me the best life possible. And so I'm going to trust him with it. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about some things that we should do. We're going to talk about that thing we do with our gifts and talents. And how we should give back to God with our gifts and talents. We're going to talk about that thing we do with our relationships. And the steps we should take to make sure we're in the right relationships. And those relationships are helping us in our relationship with God. We're going to talk about that thing we do with the people in our life that don't know Jesus. See, some of you have done that today. You've brought them to church. Well done. But today we're going to talk about everybody's favorite thing in church. And so I was really just kind of beating around the bush because nobody likes to talk about this in church, and I'm trying to prepare you. And I'm hoping by this point you've decided, I like that guy. Because what I'm going to talk about, you might say, I don't like that guy anymore. You're going to say, he's a jerk. Can't believe he brought that up. So husbands, get your elbows ready. Because you're going to get to elbow your wife and say, see, I told you. Because you've picked the Sunday, we're talking about money. Congratulations. I give you 3 seconds to look at your wife in a gloating fashion and say, told you so. You can do it. It's okay. But we're going to talk about money. And not just money. Not just giving. Oh, we're going through the whole shebang here today. We're not even talking about giving. We're talking about the T word. We're talking about, if you grew up in church, tithing. We're talking about tithing today. If you don't know what tithing is, let me explain it. Tithing is the act of giving the first 10% of everything you make, of your money, back to God through his church. That's what we're going to talk about today, because I believe God's plan for us is that tithing is that thing we do with our money. I'm glad nobody got up and left. Last hour, I thought a few people were actually going to leave because you don't like to talk about money. You know what? I don't love to talk about it because y'all get real quiet. You don't laugh at any of my jokes, and you get real uncomfortable, and you're afraid I'm going to, like, call your name out and all that kind of stuff. I don't know what happened. So everybody just kind of loosen up, kind of relax, okay? But we're going to talk about tithing today. See, tithing is, it's an ancient tradition. It actually predates Christianity. I don't know if you knew that. It predates Judaism. Adam and Eve taught their children to tithe. Father Abraham, you gave him a father Abraham and many sons had father Abraham, I am one of them, a sore of you, so let's all praise the Lord, stand up, sit down, turn around. I don't know what else happens. Father Abraham, he tithed. The nation of Israel, God's chosen people, they tithed. We get to the New Testament, Jesus talks about tithing, probably only one time. And the weird thing is, when Jesus talks about tithing, he talks about it in the context of slamming some people for some bad things they were doing. And then after Jesus, they don't really talk about tithing anymore in the New Testament. The New Testament writers talk about being generous. They talk about giving. They talk about putting God first. But they don't really talk about tithing. And some of you are saying, aha, because see, you've read the Bible. And you know that the New Testament writers don't talk about tithing. And so anytime somebody talks about tithing in church, you sit in the back going, nope, not us, not anymore. Because see, there's four groups of people in the room when you talk about tithing. Four groups of people. The first and smallest group are the people that know what tithing is and do it. They know about tithing and they tithe. The second group are people that don't know what tithing is, which is probably some of you, and so clearly you don't tithe. No one just naturally thinks, you know what I should do today? I should give 10% of my income to that church. That'd be great. Nobody does that. That'd be crazy. So there's people that don't know what tithing is and they don't tithe. The third group, people that know what tithing is, but they don't tithe, but they feel bad about it. They wish they could. They don't know how they can. They can't make it work in their finances. It's a struggle. I know I should tithe, blah, blah, blah. And the fourth group of people that say, look, I've heard the spiel. I know what tithing is. I'm not going to tithe, and I don't feel bad about it because I've read the New Testament, and it's not in there, and so I don't have to do it. And if you're in that fourth group, I know some of you are because we've had conversations. I'm thrilled you're here. I want you to know, I've read the whole Bible too. I actually went to graduate school. I have a master's degree in the Bible. Learned to read it in the ancient languages. Like I can actually, well, not anymore, but I could. I could read it in the Greek and Hebrew. You kind of lose that. But I could at one point, I promise, and I did. And I've studied it, and I've studied, you know. And here's the deal. I see your point. I'm not saying I don't. I can understand how you think that. I think you're wrong. But I understand how you could think that. And what I'm going to try to do today is at some point I'm going to address some of those issues. But not off the top because I don't think that's important. Because see, the real reason I believe in tithing and I preach it and Wellspring preaches it and I teach it is not only does God talk about it. It's because tithing works. It just works. I have seen it. Personally, I have seen it in friends and family members that when you put God first in your finances through the tithe, it just works. It's just better. And I don't think God would continue blessing something and would continue blessing the people that do it if he did not want us to do it. You know, that's really the core of why I believe in it, is because it works. Now, today's message is actually going to be very simple. It's got three parts. First thing we're going to do is we're going to look at a video. I'm going to share with you a video of a couple at Wellspring that tithe. Tithing is that thing they do with their money. We're going to hear from them, not from me. We're going to hear from another couple. And then we're going to look at two passages from the Bible, one from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament, that I think make very clear that tithing is that thing we should do with our money. And then at the end of the service, get ready. If you were mad at me before, man, just hold on. At the end of the service, I'm going to give you an opportunity. If you don't tithe, I'm going to give you an opportunity to change your mind. I'm going to give you an opportunity to say, you know what? I heard the message today. I believe God spoke to me. I'm going to begin tithing. You may have noticed, if you come to Wellspring, we normally take the offering right in the middle of our service, right? We haven't done that yet. And now some of your hearts are beating out of your chest. You're like, man, he got me. And some of you are thinking, no, I knew it. This guy's slick. He just wants my money. I knew it was coming. You're looking at your wife again. I told you. But here's the deal. For every week of this series, I'm going to be preaching on a specific act we should do. And for every week of the series, I'm going to give you a chance to respond. Next week, I'm going to preach on volunteering. And guess what? At the end of the service, you're going to be able to sign up to volunteer. In 2 weeks, I'm going to preach on joining a small group. And guess what? At the end of the service, you're going to be able to join a small group. The last week of the series, we're going to talk about inviting. And guess what? You're going to be able to give an opportunity to commit to inviting. So why would I preach on giving? Why would I preach on tithing and not give you an opportunity to respond? And I know some of you, you're thinking, you just want money, blah, 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 blah. Here's the deal. At the end of the service, if you really think, I just want your money, here's what we'll do. You get your checkbook out, you write the check, but you leave the who blank, okay? And on the way out, you can find me, you can find Eric, you can find TJ. You can say, tell me a good church in Myrtle Beach to write this check to. And we'll give you names. I've got a couple names I could give you. Because if you really think that this is all about just getting your money and all that kind of stuff, you should really give your money somewhere else. You really should. But you should also continue that logic, and if I would come up here and lie to you about money, I would probably lie to you about anything else, too. So I wouldn't sit under somebody that I think's lying to me about money. That's just me. That's just my thought. But my hope is that won't happen. My hope is that God will change your mind. Because tithing works. So I want to do a little, I'm going to share you a story. A story of Randy and Liz. And they're going to talk to you about why they tithe. And the reason I'm going to have them share a story, we're actually going to have stories every week of this series, is because, full disclosure here, my children eat because you give money to the church. Like, I don't do this for free. They pay me a salary. They pay TJ a salary. They pay Eric a salary. They pay Chris a salary. Pay these musicians. Pay Abby a salary. Like, you know? So, yeah, you could easily say, well, he's just in favor of this because his kids want to eat. I got 3 kids, 8, 5, and 3. One had a birthday yesterday. One had a birthday today. David's a birthday boy. You can clap for my son's birthday. Yeah, sure. And no, I will not do a shout out for your child on their birthday. Just won't do it. He had to move halfway across the country because his daddy wanted to start a church. So happy birthday, buddy. But right, I mean, I could get up here and talk about it. You could be like, well, there's a reason, blah, blah, blah. So take me out of it. Not going to be my story, but I want you to listen to the story. And I want you to be open to the idea that maybe God is real. Maybe he wants us to tithe. And maybe it works. Let's watch the video.
I actually started tithing very early, before I actually started making money. I don't know exactly how old I was, but the first time I remember specifically having to tithe, and it was a having to tithe because it wasn't something I wanted to do, but it wasn't an option that my parents gave me to not tithe. The first time I actually was an extra in a movie and made $380-something. So I had to tithe $38, which was a lot for an 8-year-old. I got an allowance all growing up. I tithed my allowance, and I've been doing it since as long as I've been making any money.
Nah, we didn't get allowance or anything growing up, so I didn't grow up necessarily tithing. It was not taught to me, but my first real job, I taught school, and we tithed that, and that was not a lot of money. I can remember sitting down, I got my first paycheck, and we sat down at my desk, because he was in medical school, and he was borrowing money, so he didn't have a dime, and I was making nothing at a private school, and we sat down, and he said, this is the way it's gonna be, and I said, okay.
And the math didn't really add up at the time, but it's just something that we both knew that.
Yeah, it wasn't like he made me. It was just we knew that was our obedience. We were supposed to do that.
But we've definitely had multiple times in our marriage that we've had those stories that we know God rewarded us for being faithful. One of those stories in our married life was actually before we even bought our first house. I guess it was our first Christmas after we got married. We really didn't have any spare income and we didn't tithe a lot, but we tithe, you know, the small amount, the 10% of our very small income was enough to buy each other Christmas presents. So we did actually, I guess that was the second time we sort of made a decision whether we do Christmas or whether we continue to tithe. And we decided that we probably should continue to be faithful even when it's hard. And we wrote that check realizing that we probably wouldn't be able to give each other Christmas presents. And literally the next day, we got a check in the mail from her grandma No, this house that we're living in is 100% financed because that's how everybody bought houses when we bought this house. But that is not how everybody buys houses now because of the economy. The banks just don't do that anymore. And so we tried for about 2 years to refinance our house to get a better interest rate just to save money just because we could. But because our house was 100% financed, we couldn't find a bank, and we talked to all of them about, you know, about refinancing, and they just couldn't make it work. But as part of the one of Wellspring's series about giving, you stressed that we could give online and make it automatic and make it easy. But it was actually a decision that we wrestled with for a while to say, do we just make this automatic and take it out of our hands? And she, because she does the money, said, you know what, sometimes that's not going to work, because if they draft on the 16th and you get paid on the 17th, there might not be any money in there. But we both decided that we should be giving God the first 10% and not the 10% that's left over at the end of the month, which we've always tried to do. But we decided to make giving automatic, you know, to make it the 10% of what my check is before anything else comes out, before, you know, insurance or taxes or anything else comes out. And that was a big step for us. And we signed up for automatic online giving. And literally that week, no joke, that week, we didn't call a bank.
They called us.
We had a bank call us and say, you know what, we think we've figured out a way to refinance your house. And the additional amount that ended up being on our tithe is the exact same amount that our mortgage payment was lowered. I mean, literally almost to the dollar. Now, I don't think if you decide today that you're gonna start tithing for the first time, your paycheck's not gonna go up next week. Your grandmom's not gonna give you a check next week. We have, it's really cool because we do have those stories where we can really see God smiling down on us saying, thank you for being faithful and what I've asked you to do. But we don't tithe in order to get a check from grandma. We don't tithe in order to have the bank call us and say, we figured out a way to refinance your house. We tithe because we're being obedient to God. Try it and see what God does in your life, not necessarily with your finances, because I don't think God's going to reward a dollar with $2. But he will reward faithfulness with blessings.
It works. Yeah. It just works. I don't know why we're surprised. I say it all the time. It's almost like God is real. And what he says is true. It's funny, you know, it's not just one story. There are tons of stories of that. In fact, a research firm did some digging at the beginning of this year, and they published a study in May. And here's what they found, that, you know, they surveyed folks that said that they gave at least 10% of their income to the local church. And they asked them just some financial help questions just to try to figure out where they were, according to, you know, against the rest of the country, where they were, you know, with their financial health. And here's what they says: people in the U.S. that give at least 10% of their income to their church, all right? People that give at least 10% of their income, look what happens. 80% of them have no credit card debt. That's crazy. Now, again, I don't think it's because God just, whoop, gives them a lot of money. It's like Randy said, that's not how God works, but he does reward faithfulness with blessing. And as we're going to hear in just a minute, when we give our heart to Jesus, which is what tithing does, it kind of reframes our priorities. And I think some of those people don't have credit card debt just because they did not need to buy the things that other people bought with credit card debt. But 80% of folks that put God first in the tithe have no credit card debt. Listen to this one. 74% have no car payments. You're doing the math right now and you're thinking, what would my life be like if I didn't have a car payment? 48% own their own home. Free and clear. And 28% are completely and totally debt free. Again, that's according to this study. I haven't gone and surveyed everybody, but that's according to this study. 28% are debt free. And again, you may be thinking, well, of course, that's because rich people tithe. Trust me, they don't. I know. Did y'all know that? Like, we know how much people give. Like, we know it. You may not have thought of it. We know it. So, yeah. We're that kind of church. We know. So, there you go. Here's the interesting thing about these stats. 63% of the people that tithe started before they were 25 years old, which makes sense. It's much easier to tithe when you're making 10 grand a year than it is when you're making 10 grand a month. Or for some of you, 10 grand a week. It's a lot more money, isn't it? You're like, whoa, I don't know if I can, easy killer. That's a lot. It's a lot. But they started early, and that's what God's done in their life. Now, another interesting thing came from this study, because they surveyed other people as well that they didn't tithe. And the number one reason people gave for not tithing, people who said, yeah, I want to tithe, the number one reason they gave was they couldn't afford it. They said, I can't afford to tithe. And so with that in mind, I want to turn to Jesus. Because Jesus talks about that. Jesus talks about money a lot. I don't know if you realize that, but he talked about money a great deal. One of his most famous passages about money is in Matthew 6. It's when he's preaching what's called the Sermon on the Mount, and he's talking about money. And we've read this passage before at Wellspring. We're going to read it again because it's hugely important. But Matthew 6, verse 19 is where we're going to start. And Jesus kind of tries to put into words and try to kind of paint a picture of what we tend to do with our money and what he thinks we should do with our money. Here's what he says. He says, don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them, where thieves break in and steal. He says, instead, store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Now, this is a very simple concept. What Jesus is basically saying is, he's like, look, don't go chasing things. Don't put value in things. Don't trust things to make you happy, to give you security, to give you peace. Don't take eternal desires and try to satisfy them with material possessions, because it's not the way it's going to work, because those material possessions are going to break. You have never had a car that didn't break down. You have never had a house that didn't get messed up. Got that brand new house, got the new house smell. You're all excited. It's all clean. And then you bring kids in. It ain't clean anymore. And it's very practical. Jesus is just saying, those desires, that desire for satisfaction, that desire for security, that desire for peace, those are eternal desires. He's saying, don't try to meet them with material things, because it's not going to work. It's going to break. Somebody come steal it. Jesus says, instead, try to satisfy eternal desires with an eternal aim, with an eternal goal. He just said, put me first. Seek me for your happiness. Seek me for your satisfaction. Put me first. Why? Verse 21, because wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. So whatever you think is going to make you happy, that's what you're going to chase. So if you think stuff can truly satisfy you, you're going to chase stuff. If you think Jesus can truly satisfy you, you're going to chase Jesus. And he says this, he says, no one can serve two masters. See, that one's kind of a shocking statement, because we like to serve both. We like to be like, man, Jesus, you're the best. Catch you next week, man. We got to go. We got things to do. Ah, Jesus, I know. I'll get you next time, Jesus. I'll get you next time. My medical bills. Gotta pay that. I'll catch you. I'll catch up with you. You're good. You're good. We're good. We're good. We're good. And so Jesus tries to make us make a choice. We don't want to make a choice. We want to have both. But Jesus says, no one can serve two masters. He says, for you will love one and hate the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. And you really don't like this. You're like, what? No, I can have it both ways. I can have my cake and eat it too. That's good. And then Jesus says, okay, they're not getting it. I got to be clear. He says this, you cannot serve both God and money. You know, there's not many places in the Bible he says you cannot serve both God and. But he says it with money. He says you cannot serve both God and money. Now, let's go back to the question we just asked. The number one reason people don't tithe, because they say they can't afford it. Let's break that down a little bit. Let's see what we're actually saying. What we're saying is this: God, I hear you. I know you, loving, all-powerful, almighty God who gave his son for me. I know you want me to give back first 10% of what I make. I understand that. But God, I look at my finances and I look at the picture. I just can't do it. I can't afford to do it. I can't see how that's going to work. See, what you're really saying is you're saying, God, I don't trust you to provide for me. I trust my money to provide for me. God, I don't trust you to keep me safe. I don't trust you to give me what I need. I trust my money to protect me and to give me what I need. See, I love my money. It makes me feel safe. It makes me feel powerful. It makes me feel important. I can look at my money, and if I have enough of it, I know I'm good. I can take my money, I can compare it to somebody else's money, and if I have more than them, I know I'm better than them. And I can look and see, well, they have more money than me. Well, then I'm not okay anymore. I was okay when I didn't know they had more money than me. But now that I know they have more than me, I'm not okay anymore. So I got to work harder to get more. Kids, I'll see you in a month. I got to get busy. We need more money so I can feel safe again. Sorry, God, I don't trust you with this. I need this. You don't really have my best interest at heart, but this does. My money. It will keep me safe. My money will protect me. Now, just to make it clear, if that's what that's not what you're thinking when you say, I can't afford to tithe. You're just thinking, oh, I can't afford to tithe. But that's what's actually going on. That's what you're actually saying in your heart, is I don't trust you to help me. I trust my money to help me. And if you trust your money more than you trust God, money is your God. And God is on the sidelines saying, remember me? You've replaced me. You've replaced me with a false God. It's not going to work. Never has. Never will. Yoo-hoo, over here. I'd love to help. I'd love to be a part of that. But it's like my boy said, you can't serve both. You have to make a choice. You cannot serve both God and money. You just can't do it. And see, this is where I want to come back to the folks who've read the Bible and say, you know, tithing's not important anymore. We don't have to tithe. It's not a big deal. I would just ask you this question, right? We can all agree that Jesus says we're supposed to put him first, right? We can all agree with that, right? That we're supposed to put him first in our life. And I think we can all agree that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 here that you cannot serve both God and money. And so that you must intentionally put God first in your life before your money. Right? We can all agree with that, right? Can you think of a better way to do that than to systematically return back to him the first 10% of what you make? I mean, can you come up with a better example? And I know if you've actually, you know, read a lot of the New Testament, you may have read 2 Corinthians, and maybe you've read something on the internet about it, and so that's in your head, and you're like, well, when Paul talks about giving, what Paul says in 2 Corinthians is give whatever you want. Because God loves a cheerful giver. And so you've always said, well, I'm not cheerful about it, and I want my heart to be pure, so I'm not giving. And you've always said, well, tithing doesn't really exist anymore because Paul says give whatever you want. And you're right. That is exactly what Paul says. That is exactly what Paul says. But see, the danger of reading the Bible and picking and choosing things is you don't get the whole context. You don't know what Paul's talking about. Paul is writing a fundraising letter in 2 Corinthians. He is literally taking a specific offering for another church. And he's going around to the churches and he's asking them, hey, I'm taking an offering for this church because they're poor and they can't eat. Would you guys like to give some to them? Hey, but you know, I'm Paul and I have authority, so I could make you give because I'm the leader here. But I don't want to do that. I'm not going to make you give. Instead, I want you to pray about it. I want you to give whatever you feel right about, and I want you to give it cheerfully because God loves a cheerful giver. You know what? I believe that. Every time we raise money here, I say the exact same thing. When I say, hey, we got to raise money for this thing, I want you to pray about it. I want you to give whatever you think God wants you to give, and I want you to give it cheerfully because God loves a cheerful giver. But Paul's not talking about weekly returning back to God what he asks for. Paul's talking about fundraising. It's a one and done thing. It has nothing to do with what we're supposed to do on a weekly basis to return back to God. Where else in the Bible does Jesus say, you know what, this is life or death. You got to choose this or that. It's huge. It's hugely important. But do whatever you want with it. Do whatever makes you happy. Where else does he say that? I hope you never, nowhere. And so that's why I believe in tithing. Look, if you don't want to call it a tithe, if you don't want to call it 10%, whatever. But there is no better way to systematically put God first in our life than to return back the very first 10% of what he gives us. And see, here's the beauty of it. Because he says you can't love both God and money, when you put God first in the tithe, when you put God first when he knows he has that first priority, you don't have to worry about loving money. You're safe. So when God's got first priority in your life and you're riding around and you see a new car, you see a new house or something and you got the money to do it and you want to do it and you start worrying, you're like, man, I want this new house. Oh, but there's starving kids in Africa. But I want this house. But there's starving kids in Africa. It's like, well, wait a minute. No. I put God first in my money, which means I can't be chasing money. I don't love money. I put God first. And so if I pray about it and I want this, I can get this. You want a boat? Get a boat. I've been told before that I've come across as anti-boat from this stage. I'm not anti-boat. I'm pro-boat. I love boats. They're fun. I'm not anti-boat. See, that's the beauty of the tithe. The tithe sets you free. Because the tithe ensures that you're not chasing money. And here's the other reason I believe in the tithe. I said the tithe works. Here's why I think the tithe works. It's because I've experienced this in my life. Randy and Liz has experienced in their life. Every person in this room that tithes has experienced this. I can't explain it. I don't know how it works. It doesn't make sense on paper. But we've all experienced this truth. God's 90% is bigger and better than my 100%. How? No idea. How does it work? How do I pay these bills? How does everything keep happening? I don't know, but I know it does. And for all of you that have tried it, you know it does too. But if you could tell on the front end how it was going to work, if you could work it out on paper, if you could do everything, it wouldn't require faith. It wouldn't require trust in God. And that's all he wants anyway. He wants your heart. He wants your relationship. He wants your trust. He wants you to not look at your money and think, that's going to protect me. He wants you to look at your God and say, he's going to protect me. That's what he wants. And when we trust him in it, guess what happens? He blesses us in ways we can't imagine. I want to echo what Randy and Liz said. No, your grandma ain't going to write you a check tomorrow. Some of you don't have any grandmas anymore. It would be freaky if a check showed up from your grandma, right? You would have to call somebody. If you give a dollar, you're not going to get back $2, right? That is not biblical. It's not godly. It's not true. That's not what we're saying. It's not what we're preaching. I would never preach that because it's a lie from the pit of hell. You can't plant a seed and God water it and triple your money. That's not how it works. That's what Randy said. He rewards faithfulness with blessing. And I believe it not only because I've experienced it, but because he promised it to us through his prophet. In the Old Testament, God spoke through men, and he'd tell them what to say, and they'd go say it. And a lot of times, people didn't like what they said. That happened with this guy named Malachi. Malachi was a prophet of God, and he had to go to the nation of Israel and say, hey, you're cheating God, because they had stopped tithing. And they had started giving whatever they wanted. And they were cheerful about it. They were cheerful givers, man. But they were just kind of giving whatever they wanted. They didn't think God noticed. And so God sends Malachi, and he's like, hey, you're cheating God. You are robbing him. And you're like, whoa, robbing? Let me explain why I would say that. Here's what Malachi says in chapter 3. Listen to this. He says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. Notice he says, bring all the tithes. He says, bring it. He didn't say give it. He says, bring it. You know why he says bring it? Because when it comes to tithing, you're not giving anything. You're bringing back to God what's already his. Because it's all God's anyway. If I have a lawnmower, you borrow my lawnmower for a month, when you bring it back to me, you're not giving me a lawnmower. It's like, look what I got you. I got you a dirty used lawnmower with no gas. There you go. You are bringing my lawnmower back to me. And I think it's important to see it that way. When it comes to the tithe, and it comes to money, when it comes to all that, when God is first in your life, what you realize is this is all God's. God gave me the skills and talents. God gave me this job. It's all His. So when He asked me to bring back 10% of what He gave me, I can do that because it's all His. It'd be like God giving you a lawnmower and saying, hey, can I use it once a month? And you say, well, I don't know about that, God. I need my lawnmower. Well, I might need to cut my grass that day. Like, it's my lawnmower. What are you talking about? Give me my lawnmower back. Nope, not now. Possession is 9/10 of the law. I don't know what that means, by the way. I've heard that said my whole life. No clue what it means. If you're a lawyer, explain it to me. Actually, don't explain it to me. It'd take too long. Just don't worry about it. I don't know what it means, though. But that's what we do. And sorry, God, I can't afford it. I can't afford to give you back a small portion of what you've already given me. Don't trust you. Now, you gave it to me, and I took it. But you want me to get, no, I can't do that. I trust it now. It's mine now. It's mine. That's what we do. But see, when we bring the tithe, when we return the tithe, here's what happens. If you do this, if you bring it back, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have room enough to take it in. Now, does that mean money? No. Might be. You might get a check in the mail. I don't know. But what it does is it makes God responsible for your life, not you. He says, all right, God, it's yours, man. Hey, you better fix that. God, I got fire. What you going to do? Medical bill just showed up. What you going to do, God? And that's when God's like, really? Like, you really are going to trust me enough to handle this? Oh, that's when God gets excited. Because He knows I'm going to get to provide for them here, and it's going to make us so much closer, and they're going to trust me so much more. I can't wait. See, we think God's up there just saying, I can't wait to get them. Oh, they messed up. Oh, they sinned. Zap, zap, zap. No. God's up there saying, man, I hope they call today. I can't wait to see their face today. I can't wait to talk to them. I can't wait to hug them. Oh, I can't wait to comfort them. I can't wait to be there for them. I can't wait to celebrate with them. I can't wait. Because He loves you. He loved you so much, He gave up His Son for you. Do you really think His end game is to just get your money? His end game is He doesn't want your money to get you. Because see, Paul talks about that the people who love money, they fall into a trap. Because they do silly things when they're chasing money, and you've all done it. Everyone in the house you can't afford, a car you can't pay for, credit card debt you can't pay off. You did all those things because you were chasing money, because you thought that would make you happy. We've all been there. But God wants better for you than that. He wants more than that. And He knows you don't trust Him. He knows you're not sure because it's money and it's careful. And so one of the few times in the Bible He says this. He says this to us about tithing. He says, try it. Put me to the test. He says, when tithing becomes that thing you do with your money, taking care of you becomes that thing I do in your life. He says, try me. Put me to the test. You put me first and see if I don't come through. You take a step and see if I don't bless you in ways you never imagined possible. Because as Jesus said it, once He has that, once He knows He is first place in your life, above money, because you can't serve both God and money. So once He knows He's got first place in your life above the money, whoo! That's when He can break free. That's when He can bless. Because He doesn't have to worry about blessing you and you worshiping the stuff. He knows that they're going to worship me because I'm the giver of the stuff and I got first place in their life. So now it's time to party. But you have to try it. You have to try. And you have to return it to where he says. In the Old Testament, he said, return it to the temple. We don't have temples anymore. The closest thing we have is the local church. And you can debate that too, but I'm not even going to go there. He says, return the first 10% of what you make back to the local church. And I just want to end with a picture real quick. The best we can tell, the best we can figure, about 20% of the folks that actually give regularly to Wellspring, not that attend, but that actually give regularly to Wellspring, about 20% of those people actually tithe to Wellspring. Only about 20%. So 80% of the people that give, and that's not even, that's like half the people that attend, but 80% of the people that give aren't tithing. They're not bringing back to the storehouse. Because see, what it says is, bring the tithes to the storehouse so that there will be enough food, so there will be enough provision, so there will be enough supplies. Now I want you to know, Wellspring is, we're provided, man. The staff's here. I'll tell you right now, our finances right now at this moment are about as healthy and good as they've ever been. So this has nothing to do with trying to raise money today. We're in a great spot because those 20% that do tithe, they are faithful. They are faithful. But I just want to paint a picture of what could happen if everybody tithed. Just if everybody who gives tithed. Not even everybody who attends. Just everybody who says, I believe Jesus, if they tithe. I want you to think about the number of things we could do in this community. The outreach we could do. The community events we could do. The kids we could feed and clothe at all the local schools. The people we could help get off the streets and find homes. Hey, setup team, you'd have to find a new place to serve because we'd get us a building. You can clap for that. Yeah, we would. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to get a building one day, and what we're going to do is we're going to have to do one of those campaigns where I'm going to have to go to the 20% that I already tithe and say, I need you to pray about it. I need you to give what you can. I need you to give it cheerfully. And they'll do it, and God will move, and we'll be fine. But I read an article recently that kind of did a global thing of this. And he basically studied the United States. And in his estimation, he came up with that if just the people that attended church in the United States and called Jesus Lord and all that, if just those people began to tithe, began to return back to God what is rightfully his, it would equate to about $165 billion a year in the hands of the church. And he goes on to kind of paint a picture of some things that could happen. And I want to share them with you. I want to just say, what would happen if the church, and this is just in the United States, not across the planet, just the United States, what would happen if we all tithe? It says that $25 billion a year, $25 billion of that a year, could relieve global hunger, starvation, and deaths from preventable diseases in 5 years. Let that sink in for a minute. In 5 years, $25 billion a year. Church could do that. $12 billion a year could eliminate illiteracy around the world in 5 years. $15 billion a year could solve the world's water and sanitation issues. And that would still leave $110 billion a year in the hands of the church. Now, let me make it clear. That's not meant to shame you. That's not meant to make you feel bad. That's meant to inspire you. That's meant to encourage you. That's meant for you to see what could happen if we just simply decided to obey God in this. If we simply decided to put Him first in this area of our lives. If we simply decided to seek Him and to build treasures in heaven before we try to seek treasures on earth. If we just decided to systematically say the first 10% is yours. And I'm going to trust you to provide for me for the other 90. It's in your hands. Just the amount of things that God could do if we just simply obey. And so what we're going to do now is, I hope that as I've been speaking, that you've been open and that God has been speaking to you. And I really do pray that some of you have changed your mind today. I pray that God has spoken to you and has said, hey, tithing is something you should try. And I really just mean try it. I mean, we take God at His word. God said, try it, put me to the test. And so we take God at that. We say, you can try it. And so at Wellspring, we've had a standing offer with our people, and we're going to issue it again today. We call it the 3-month tithe challenge. And it's very simple. You commit today, or whenever. I'd like for you to commit today. I think God would, but if you want to go home and think about it, pray about it, you can. At any time, if you want to commit to tithing for 3 months, just let us know. Today you can do it on a, you have giving envelopes underneath. You can just fill this out and just put, just write tithe challenge on it. And here's how it works. For 3 months, you put God first in your tithe. We make it really easy. It's like Randy was talking about. You can sign up right here. It can come out of your bank account. It can come out of your credit card. And again, that's not because we want your money. It's because we forget. We don't bring checkbooks anymore. I do it. Every, the 1st and the 16th of every month, I tithe. It just comes out of my check. I don't even think about it, and it just makes it easier. I think that's easier for everybody, but you do whatever you want to do. We just want to make it easy for you. But here's how the tithe challenge works. You agree to tithe for 3 months, and you do it. You put God first, and you tithe for 3 months. At the end of that 3-month period, if you were to say, you know what, that was terrible. I didn't have any money. I didn't feel any closer to God. Couldn't pay my bills. I need that money. God didn't come through for me. If you say that, you know what we'll do? We'll give it back. It's not about your money. You don't need your money. Like I said, Wellspring's pretty solid financially right now. We just want to make it easy. God says, try it, put me to the test, and our job is to help equip you to live this life. And so we thought, hey, this would sure make it easy. It's a risk-free offer. You get to try it. If it doesn't work out, you just say, man, that was terrible. Can I have my money back? And we'll say, sure. It's like a savings account. But what I believe will happen is during that 3-month period, you'll begin to see, oh yeah, God's 90% is bigger and better than my 100%. Yep. There it is again, almost like God is real. See, I believe it with all my heart. I believe that when tithing becomes that thing we do with our money, it unlocks something in heaven. It does. We build a trust with Him. It builds our relationship with Him. And we can begin to trust Him more in other areas of our life as well. And so what we're going to do right now is very simple. The band's going to come out. They're going to sing a little. They're going to sing a couple of verses of a song. And while they sing, I want you to pray. And if God's spoken to you, I want you to take this out. I want you to write tithe challenge on it. If you want to go ahead and make your first gift today, you can. If you want to do that next week, that's fine too. And then I'm going to come back out, and we're going to take our offering. And this is your chance to respond. This is your chance to say, okay, I've changed my mind. I want to try this. I believe tithing is that thing I should do with my money. So let me pray for you, and we'll give you a chance to respond to God. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for who you are. I thank you that you're faithful. I pray now that you change minds, you change hearts, and draw us into obedience to you through the tithe. It's in your Son's name we pray.
Thanks again for listening to this week's Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit us at wellspringchurch.tv.